Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
And I believe that this word this morning is going to reveal something new to somebody, and I believe that it is going to remind somebody else. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 15 and 16. And he said, "Hearken, ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and you shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel." I want to preach on the subject for just a few moments on whose battle is it anyway? Whose battle is it anyway? You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Turn to your neighbor real quick and just ask him, whose battle is that? Turn to your second choice neighbor and ask him, whose battle is that? We're going to answer that question today. How many of you, just by personality, are non-confrontational? How many of you will fight with a McDonald's manager over sauces? Practice. It's just practice for the big things. There's a fine line. The choir's laughing at something over here. I think they're pointing very confrontational people out. I'm married to a very non-confrontational person, but I make up for it because I am a very confrontational person. I confront things that I should leave alone, Mr. Sauce Man at Chick-fil-A. I confront things that I should just let go because I don't have a dog in that hunt. But I do confront things that need confronting. And I've been taught from my pastors and my leaders to confront and deal with things quickly. Do not let them fester. Do not let them simmer. But there's a lot of us who we confront things that we have no business confronting, and we leave the weightier things undone and undealt with. And then we have the meek, and we have the shy, and we have those that just don't like to confront. And so a lot of times we sit back, and sometimes in some cases people walk on us. The enemy runs over us because we will not confront. I'm here to declare to you as the people of God, we do not have a choice whether to confront the adversary or not. That God has called us. God has called us to fight the good fight of faith. God has said that our weapons are not carnal, but they are mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. The only way that you pull down strongholds is to confront the stronghold and the one that makes the stronghold. But a lot of times in our confrontation or lack of confrontation, because we do not get our ducks in a row, and because we do not do things in the right order or a wrong perception of who's coming against us or what battle we're fighting, a lot of times we lose ground or we lose the battle because of the way that we confront. And so here we see the story of Jehoshaphat and the people of God. This is post-Red Sea. This is after they have moved in to the land of promise. This is after they've moved into the land that flows with milk and honey. And I preface what I'm about to say with that because I want to let you know that these are people that have seen the goodness of God. These are people that have seen God's hand literally roll back oceans. These are people that have seen God make sure that Egypt could not touch them when he delivered them. These are people that were fed and clothed and taken care of for 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. So I say all of that to say this. These are people that have a testimony of the goodness of God. And let me remind you, it's not what I'm preaching about today, but let me remind you from the onset of this message, don't forget about what God has done and where God has brought you from, because if we forget what he's done and where he's brought us from, we will have to overcome those same giants and same enemies again. And so Jehoshaphat is leading the nation of Israel, and the nation of Israel now is coming under attack from the Moabites and the Ammonites and others. And they've come off the mountain of Seir. And Jehoshaphat goes before the Lord. And there is something very interesting about Jehoshaphat's request from the Lord. The Bible says that Jehoshaphat was scared. You're in a bad shape as a people when your leadership is scared. When your leadership doesn't know what to do, when your leadership is literally trembling with fear, and the people are saying, Jehoshaphat, what are we going to do? And he turns around to them and says, I don't know. And he excuses himself to go to God. And this is his petition to God. Aren't you the God that brought us out? Aren't you the God that brought us into the land of promise? Man, the nerve of Jehoshaphat. Fearful and stupid to talk to God that way. He said, aren't you the one that drove out the inhabitants for the promised land that we are supposed to live in? And God never promised to kill the inhabitants. He said, it's up to you to possess. I've given you the land, and you have to go to possess. Understand this, when we possess the land, people of God, we're not just talking about signing our name on the deed. We're talking about there are some things that we're going to have to evict out of our promised land. There's some things that we're going to have to confront in a battle and say, the land you live on is not yours anymore. God gave this to me. The house you built is not your dream home. It's my dream home. God gave it to me. And so Jehoshaphat says, God, didn't you drive out these people? Didn't you prepare this atmosphere? And it is because Jehoshaphat and the kings before him and the leaders before him did not deal with the inhabitants that the inhabitants have creeped back up. And I say all of that to say this, what you don't kill today, you'll have to deal with tomorrow. And there are some of us that are fighting the same fights that we fought in 2008 and 1998 because we did not kill them. We just pushed them back a little to gain a little more ground. And when they show back up at our doorstep and our front door, we're shocked and surprised. There are some things that you need to cut the head off of today. You know the reason why Goliath never got back up? Because David said, while I've got you down, I'm going to cut you off. There's some things in your life that the devil would love for you to drag into 2019. But I'm here to declare to you that Living Way is bringing down the giants. Living Way is driving the inhabitants out. But we're not just putting them back. We're not just pushing them back. We're killing them, because what we don't kill with today, we deal with tomorrow. And I promise you, February's giants will look a lot different, should look a lot different than December's giants. 2019's giants should look a lot different than 2018's. Why? Because I'm not pushing them back. I'm killing them. Giants fall. Giants die. Make sure that you cut them off. Make sure that they don't follow you. Make sure that you don't leave their lifeline. Make sure that you don't leave them a breath in their lungs so that they can recover to retaliate. And so there's three types. There's actually four types, and we'll cover them today. Four types of people in this place today talking about battles. Number one, there are those that don't know they're in a battle, so they don't fight. If you don't know you are in a battle, you are losing. Even if you don't know you're losing, you're losing. You're losing, and you say, I haven't lost much in my life. It's not what you lose only that is counted as lost. It's what you never gained that you were supposed to gain. If you do not know you're in a battle, you are losing. They say ignorance is bliss. Ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance is dangerous. I watched a movie, and it said this. I love this. I love this, and I hate it, but it's so true. Ignorance is the new excellence. As long as we don't know, we're fine. As long as we can just wake up tomorrow and pretend there's a devil that doesn't exist, we're fine. People are living as if God doesn't exist, and they think they're fine. They're losing a battle. And if they don't wake up and realize there's a Jesus that loves them and a Jesus that wants to save them, when they die and stand before God, are they going to be shocked? They're going to say, God, I didn't even know you exist. And God's not going to say, well, I didn't know that. You can come on in then. You can live like he doesn't exist, but it doesn't rob his existence from this earth. Jesus is alive today, and you better know you're in a battle so you can fight the battle. You got to know you're in a battle to fight the battle to win the battle. Battles are not won on accident. Battles are won through strategy. Battles are won through presence. Battles are won through power. And we need a generation that is reminded that we are in a battle and the violent take it by force. That we are not just skipping our way to heaven. That we are not just sliding our way to eternity. That every day I wake up, I praise God and fight the devil. I worship God and fight the adversary. Turn to your neighbor and tell him there's a battle. Number two, there are those that do not know which battle is theirs, so they fight the wrong battle. These are people that get involved in drama. These are people that when there's no drama, they create drama so that they can be involved in drama. You got to look at the people around you, and if there's drama always around them, it's not that drama follows them, it's that they create drama wherever they are. How many of you have family members, maybe not sitting next to you, but cousins that you're going to see around the Christmas tree, that if everything was going all right, they're going to bring something up on December 25th that's going to bring somebody to blows. Cops are going to be called. Presents are going to be thrown. Kids are going to be told secrets about their mama and their dad. And there's a lot of us that we have the urge to fight and confront, but we don't confront the right things. The next time that your blood pressure starts rising in the drive-thru at Whataburger, number one, keep your blood pressure down. Don't let it go up. But if it's going to go up, let's not waste it on Whataburger. If it's going to go up, let's not waste it on a small-minded coworker. If you're going to confront something on Monday, don't give your boss a piece of your mind. If you keep giving out a piece of your mind, you're not going to be left with much. And so we have to understand and pray every morning when we wake up, God, where are you taking me? Where are we going? What do I need to confront in my life? What do I need to confront around me? Because there is a battle in front of me, and I need to know, is that a battle I need to step into, or is that a battle I need to avoid? Is that something I need to invest my time in, or is that something I need to just walk past? That every problem in the world is not your problem. Every drama in the world is not your drama. You've got the choice to open your mouth or shut your mouth. You've got the choice to keep scrolling on social media and say, I'm not going to deal with that ignorance today. I'm going to choose to post something. I'm going to choose to pray something. I'm going to choose to do something that adds life and does not rob it. You don't know how much self-control I have on Facebook. You don't think I have self-control? Ride with me for one day, because Mandy gets... she gets my post that I never post. And I say, that's crazy. That person's out of their mind. Why would they say that? Why would they do that? People come against me. 2 weeks ago, somebody sent me a big old hate message by Facebook. And it's always so easy to just drop that line when you're 50 miles away. But I just want to say, if you don't like what I say, if you don't like who I am, just keep scrolling. Why are we friends on Facebook? Just keep scrolling. Just keep going. That's not my battle. One of the greatest things you can do getting ready for 2019 is discernment on which battle is yours and which battle is not. Which battle is worth your time, which battle is not. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, find your battle. Tell them, stay in your lane. See, when I fight someone else's battle, I'm doing their job. One of my greatest heroes in the faith was Lawrence Bishop. I remember Lawrence Bishop Sr., Big Lawrence. Big Lawrence was a man's man, throwback to the 1870s, 1880s, turn of the century, just a cowboy guy. He was rough around the edges, full of the Holy Ghost, full of the Word of God. And one of my greatest stories ever about Lawrence is when he stepped off the platform and he had just gotten through preaching, and one of the brothers came by and said, "Oh, Pastor Lawrence," he said, "I don't know what I would have done without your prayers all this week." Pastor Lawrence looked right at him and said, "Pray for you? I ain't thought about you since last Sunday." He said, "I've been out there working my job. I've been out there making my living. I've been out there fighting my devils. And I'm not saying that we don't pray for you, but understand this, that I'm just a man. I might be on a 3-foot-tall stage today, but when I leave today, I got the same devil after me. I got the same demons trying to connect themselves to me. I got the same things coming against my marriage, my kids, my ministry, my life. I got the same crazy thoughts going through my head as you do. But the one thing I realize is I got to bring every thought in. That's a battle worth fighting, and I don't mind fighting it." Turn to your neighbor and tell him, "I'm not going to do your job." One of the worst creations ever is the self-checkout. Somewhere in the last 5 years, they have sold the lie to America that we're going to charge you more than we should charge you for your groceries. And then when you get up, we're going to make you work for us, and you're going to pay us. I'm sorry, Karen. I'm not going to do your job. I don't care if the line's 15 people. I'm going to stand at the end of that line and let somebody get their $12 an hour. I'm not going to do your job and my job too. I'm going to run for president. I'm going to end unemployment with one swift decree. Every register at every big box store has to be opened with a human being running the cash register. We will end poverty. Just line them up at HEB, at Home Depot, at Lowe's. Get every register with somebody in it, and we end unemployment. Goes to nothing. Let me step off my soapbox now. Back to what I was preaching, which is the word. That was just my opinion the last 90 seconds. The word is, I'm not going to fight your battle and mine. I've got my lane I'm staying in. I've got my things that I'm fighting for. And so, number one, you got to realize you're in a battle. Number two, you got to realize whose battles are yours and whose are not. Let's go to number three, those that know they're in a battle, but they fight the wrong way. You ever seen somebody in a fight that doesn't know how to fight? Get some popcorn. That's going to be a fun show. If you've ever been on YouTube and you start watching fights, you're going to waste 3 days of your life watching people get their tail kicked that don't know how to fight. Anybody that starts taking off their clothes to fight, you see them on Cops and Live PD, they don't know how to fight because they're all doing all this posturing. They know they're in a fight. They just don't know how to fight. If I could say there's one thing in the Western church that I see that is going to be a detriment to a lot of people's growth and where God is able to take them, is there is a Western church that knows they are in a fight. They just don't know how to fight. And so they bring the world's fighting methods into the spiritual battle. And when the world's methods don't work, it frustrates us. But in the end, it's not the frustration that hurts. It's getting hit repeatedly in the face, and we don't know how to stop it. God, I thought you said you're going to supply all my needs. Why am I broke? God, you said that you'd bring the prodigal home. Why is my son still not home? It's because you are fighting in a battle the wrong way. Don't you bring a knife to a gunfight. Don't you bring a gun to a missile fight. Listen, God has given you weapons of mass destruction, and you got to quit punching and kicking and understand God's given you a weapon. Woo! Turn to your neighbor and tell him you got to keep fighting. I'm talking to somebody that's in the middle of the battle today.
Somebody that's in the middle of the battle today and you've been losing for the last 6 months. God's getting ready to turn that battle for you today. God's getting ready to drop a word that's going to change your life. I'm talking to somebody, you've been fighting the battle the last 6 weeks. There's been something going on in your body, something going on in your marriage. I'm here to tell you, you are in a fight, but God's getting ready to teach you how to fight. And when he teaches you how to fight, you're going to win. So here is the revelation to win the battle. You ready? Two words. Stop fighting. I knew it'd get quiet right there. That's all right. Stop fighting. Stop fighting. See, for me to keep fighting puts it on Brandon. When the word of the Lord didn't say it's by Brandon's might, it's by Brandon's power. It's by Brandon's spirit. That's not what the word of God says. It's not by power nor might, but by the spirit of the Lord, saith the Lord unto Zerubbabel. I'm here to tell you, you've been swinging when you should have been praising. You've been kicking when you should have been worshiping. You've been screaming. You've been pulling hair when you should have been praying. You've been scratching out eyes when you should have been fasting. God said, I want you to quit fighting this way and start fighting this way. It was Jacob. Oh, I need a Jacob that understood, I'm not fighting with flesh and blood, but I'm fighting with God himself. And when I fight with God, something is going to happen in me. Something's going to change the way I walk. Something's going to change my identity. Quit fighting this way and start fighting this way. So let's pick it up in verse 15. And he said, hearken you, all of Judea, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the king of Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord. Can I pause right here and tell you that the battle is guaranteed a win to those that have made Jesus their Lord. Lordship means you come to church when the doors are open. Lordship means you talk to him every day. Lordship means you serve him with your life. Lordship means you witness every time you have the opportunity. Lordship means you wear Jesus on your heart as a badge. Lordship means that you are an heir of Christ. Lordship means that you don't hide it, don't cower in the corner. For those that are Lord, that make Jesus Lord of all, he said, I am here with you. Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of the great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but it's God. Be not afraid. I love what Bishop said. He dropped so much just revelation just in passing. And he just dropped a word this morning. I don't know if it's in his notes or not. But he said, Peter walked on water because he lost the fear he had for water for a moment. Can I tell you, if you lose the fear that you have over that situation, over that person, over that report, over what's come again, if you lose that fear, you'd walk on the top of that thing. If you lose that fear, you'd jump over that wall. If you lose that fear, you'd run through that troop. I'm talking about somebody building their faith and losing some fear. A lot of my peers, a lot of them, I love to hear them preach. But a lot of times, one of the dangerous things about always finding something new to preach is sometimes you preach things that just ain't true. Or you preach things that you just scratch your head and say, I don't know if that's right. And I've heard two of my peers that I respect very much, and I love them. And this doesn't change my love for them, because I'm sure I've said a couple things a time or two that were not just right anyway. And they said, you can have faith and fear. I don't know about that. And I know that it's gotten quiet because some of you have amen that on Facebook. And the reason we amen that on Facebook is because it takes the responsibility off of our faith walk. It's hard for me to resolve having faith and fear together. And the reason it's hard for me to resolve that is this. If I have fear and I say I have faith, my faith is dissolved. It is dissipated, it is polluted by fear. So if you can have fear and faith, your faith is not worth very much. Which is why you can declare something in faith, but if you still have fear,
it might not work.
But when you get rid of fear and you say, I'm not scared anymore. When you get rid of fear and say, I'm not going to be quiet anymore. When you get rid of fear and say, I'm not going to let that hold me back anymore. Who cares if I don't have a high school diploma? Who cares if I've had two or three failed relationships? I'm not scared of those things anymore. Why? Because God is with me. I'm out of time, but let me go for just a little more. Be not afraid nor dismayed. Then verse 16 says this, tomorrow. Come on now. You get this pep talk. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. I'm with you. Don't you know there are some people like, let's go then. Let's go. God said the word. Let's go. God said 24 hours to get yourself together. Because I don't need a hyped up people on emotionalism going to fight a battle that they're not ready for. You need to make sure that you still don't have fear 24 hours later. Come on now, you know what I'm talking about. Bishop preaches us happy and we're taking our jackets off and swinging them and running to the altar. And my God, that's the greatest thing I've ever heard. Just for 2 o'clock on Monday afternoon saying, oh, I don't know if I can make it till next Sunday. God said 24 hours. Let's make sure it sticks. Let me talk to all the single ladies real quick. I don't care if he can come to church for 6 months. I don't care if he can serve on the usher team for 3 weeks. Young man, I don't care how good she sings up here. And I don't know how good she greets out there. That doesn't matter. You need to make sure that what they're talking is what they're living and that it sticks. You need to make sure that they're not walking a certain way to catch your eye and talking a certain way to catch your eye. And then they flip the script once you say, I do. You've got to give them some time. Even God gave Jehoshaphat and the people of Israel. You need to get yourself together in 24. In 24 hours, I'll know if you're serious or not. I'm going to tell on Pastor Mandy. I don't know if I've ever told this story before. Praise team, come. She's going to love this. I might need a place to stay tonight after I tell this story. 2002, Manny and I grew up together. 2002, after helping her grandfather out of church for a few years, she came back to Living Way. I was up leading service like I do, and it was on a Sunday night. We used to have Sunday night church back then, and I was praising the Lord, and I opened my eyes, and I'm not going to lie, I quit praising. I quit praising. I saw Manny walk in the back door, and I said, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I can't tell you what Bishop preached. I can't tell you what Bishop preached. I know Rachel Welch sung a solo, and I'll get to that in just a minute, how I know that. I don't know what Bishop preached because I said 7:30 needs to hurry up and come so I can track Mandy down. I followed her out into the breezeway underneath the Family Life Center. I said, hey, Amanda. I'm so glad you're back. I'm really glad you're back. Wanted to know if maybe I could get your number. And she said, well, I'm dating someone right now. And so I said, that's cool. No problem. Have a good night. See you next week. God bless you. Before I could turn around, I heard the three letters, the greatest word in the dictionary, but. But. Things are not going very good. Oh, they're not? We didn't have a wall back then. We had the announcements and order service on paper. And I had my announcements, and it said soloist Rachel Welch. I flipped that bad boy over. I still got it to this day. And I got her number. I said, if she's having problems with her boyfriend, it's going to be weeks before she calls. She called me like 25 minutes later. We talked for 6 hours. The next day, she said, I had a dream that we got married. I said, thank you, Jesus. But there was still the other guy. Thank God for a great mother-in-law. She said, Mandy, you can't do this to both these boys. You need to figure this out. And so Mandy told me, she said, my boyfriend's starting to do better. He's going to church. He's reading the Bible. I said, yeah, but is that really real? Or is he doing that to keep you? As you can see, 17 years later, she made the right decision, praise God. 16 years later. I don't know where that young man is now, but I do remember seeing him on social media a few years ago in his underwear with a sword as his profile picture. I got up from where I was, went all the way to Mandy, showed her that picture, and said, "You're welcome," and just went back to what I was doing. You better know. I said all that to say this. You better know. You better know that when you armor up, that you're ready to fight. You better know that when you get all that on together, that you're ready, that there's more behind your hallelujah than just some letters put together, that there's more behind your hands raised than just what you've seen someone else to do. You better know that when you open up your mouth, you've got power and authority. Stand on your feet. Because God is with you. He said this. He said, "Set your feet and stand still." Some of us don't win the battle because we never set our feet and we try to stand. When you stand like this, you're going to be pushed over. The problem with the nation of Israel is they were always running from attackers. They weren't even looking. It's easy to be blindsided and defeated. God said, set your feet. Get in a stance. And when you get in that stance, stand still. Jehoshaphat went and got some praisers. He said, "I need you to start praising." What's the military going to do? They're going to stand. What are you going to do? We're going to stand. What are we going to do when we stand? We're going to see the salvation of the Lord. I close with this, 30 seconds. They set themselves. They stand. The Bible says that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon turned on one another and began slaughtering each other. They were supposed to be fighting the nation of Israel, but God said, "Set yourself, stand still, and watch what I'm about to do." And the finger of the Lord came and stirred up the enemy, where the enemy cannibalized itself. And the Bible goes on to say that they went and they got all the riches of the Ammonites. They got all the riches of the Moabites. I'm here to tell you, we're not just trying to stay alive. We're going to stay alive, and there's going to be some bounty. There's going to be some blessing in front of you. I'm talking to somebody, if you're in the middle of a battle, I don't need to go any further. If you're in the middle of a battle, I need you to join me right now. If you're waging war spiritually, if you're waging war and you got things happening in your family, if you got things happening in your marriage, if you got things happening in your...